So real quick, again, we were talking last week from James 4:6 that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, right? And so we were saying about how pride puts me in the position of the king. Everybody else, including God, is somewhere else down the list of priorities. That's pride, right? I'm first and foremost. It's all about me. It's all about my preferences. It's all about how I want it to be done. That's pride. Humility says, I choose to put the king in his proper position. I choose to put Jesus first, and then my preferences, how I want it done, I submit and I come under him. That's humility, right? And God resists the proud. Remember, I gave the funny analogy of how I don't like liver and I resist liver, right? Whenever we're walking in pride, that's the posture he takes towards us because we're literally offensive to him. The way that, even more so, the way that liver is offensive to me and I want to resist it, when we choose to walk in pride, we are offensive to him and he chooses to resist the pride. But the flip is true. Whenever we choose to walk in humility, when we choose to submit to him, he gives grace. He lavishes his grace. The word that Mike Deal likes to use is he gives his extravagant grace to the humble. That word extravagant, right? And so the choice is really ours when it comes to walking in pride, walking in humility, and then walking in the response from God towards either pride or humility. The choice is ours, okay? And then we went on and we talked about out of Romans chapter 1. Maybe we should just turn there real quick. Romans chapter 1. So good to see everybody out today. I love that we have our hearts tuned to the love of God. That's going to make such a difference in sharing this word. It's going to make such a difference in receiving this word. It's a good thing. In verse 18 of chapter 1 of Romans, Paul writes how the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, and here was the phrase, suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We were talking about not being those that suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Suppress, hold down. Those who hold down the truth. Because we're cutting ourselves off from the blessing of God. We're cutting ourselves off from the freedom that the truth can bring us. Remember, Jesus said himself, you will know the what? Truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, if we're suppressing the truth, we're negating the freedom that we could otherwise walk in. Amen? And we also went on to talk about how Jesus himself said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So you could almost say when we suppress the truth, we are suppressing Jesus in our lives. Who wants to do that? Does that seem like a wise decision to make, to suppress the truth and forego freedom, to suppress Jesus and the activity, the blessing that he wants to bring in our lives? Yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer, right? There are those who suppress the truth. So we want to take it a step further, and we want to see where Paul takes this from those who suppress the truth, and we want to talk about this a little bit. You know, I really feel like the Lord is, we're in a season where the Lord is dealing with his people. Because I believe that God is preparing, and it's already started, a mighty move of his spirit, not only in CLCC, but in this region and beyond at large, that God is preparing for a mighty move of his spirit. Now, how many of you know that if we're not walking in truth, if we are suppressing the truth, or worse yet, we're exchanging the truth for a lie, which we'll read about in just a moment, are we really prepared for the move of God that he wants to do in this house? Because I can tell you, when God's presence begins to move in a powerful way, and people are coming in droves because they're hungry for more of Jesus, and they're being filled with His Spirit, and they're realizing God has a plan and a purpose for my life, and I want to step out in it. And those people begin to come, and they keep coming, and the place gets filled up. If we're walking in lies, or if we're suppressing the truth, can we really handle that? Can we really steward these new believers well? No, we can't. And so now, Papa God, in His goodness, right, is preparing His people for this greater move that is going to bring in new believers, baby Christians. And His heart is that we would steward those new believers well. We got to clean house first, before we get to that place where we can steward these believers well. And I believe that's where we are right now. And so while this word can apply to everybody across the board, listen, saints, God is doing some business in His church right now. And so let's be those who choose to come under this work, this cleansing, this adjusting that God is doing in our hearts now. Let's be those that are humble and submit to that, right? Let's not be those that walk in pride, who want to suppress the truth. You know, God's putting His finger on this. God's revealing truth to us, and we just want to hold it down. We just keep it down there. I don't want it to come up and do something, right? No. Let's be those who celebrate the truth, who champion the truth, who don't try to suppress the truth. Suppress Jesus, but we want to be those who elevate Jesus in our lives, right? He's preparing us for something. He's preparing us for a harvest. And we will not miss out as we engage Him in this process. Amen? So, along those lines, I just want to share a quick verse out of 1 Corinthians 13. We'll get back to Romans here in just a moment. Paul writes, though, and again, this is 1 Corinthians 13. This is what we all call the what? The love chapter, right? In the love chapter, Paul writes this: when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Okay? So this is not a word that is meant to say, oh, you dirty, rotten Christians, you're doing such a horrible job, and I can't believe you're where you are, and you should be so much further along. And it's not a condemning word. It's simply, there's a progression, there's a progress that God brings us through, right? And it wasn't a big deal when we were 2 years old and we wore a diaper. That's part of what being a two-year-old is, right? Now, if I'm 52 and I'm wearing a diaper still, maybe we got an issue, right? Yeah. But the thing is, let's not think badly about where we are. We are where we are, but God doesn't want us to stay there. God wants to bring us along. He wants to mature us. He wants to grow us. He wants to for us to engage Him in this process that He has us in. Amen? And if there's stuff that the Lord illuminates to us that is kind of unsightly, let's not try to hide it or suppress the truth. Let's try to deal with it head on. Let's own our stuff and deal with it. And say, God, this is kind of ugly in my life, but I know that You're for me, and my heart is tuned to Your love. And I know that You will do everything You can to help me to overcome this and walk in victory. That's the heart of God. Amen? I was recently talking to a woman who said that she has a family member who recently admitted to his wife and to his mother that he's an alcoholic. Now, I hear that, and maybe for some of us, our first reaction is, boy, that guy, he's got problems. Boy, what, you know, he's an alcoholic. Oh, my gosh, what? I hear that, and I think this. He finally came to the point where he admitted, I have a problem. I celebrate that. I bless that man. He's on the right track. He just took a huge step in dealing with his issue, right? And that's what I'm talking about this morning. As God brings up stuff that maybe is even unsightly in us, and like, oh, I don't like that about me. I don't like that I do that. Okay, I get that. We all get that. But let's not stay there. Let's own our stuff and let's take it to him and say, God, would you help me with this? The same way this man admitted, I'm an alcoholic, and now he's going to meetings, several meetings every week. He's getting the help that he needs. I celebrate that. I don't look down at that guy. He's a brave guy to face that head on. And we need to be brave as well to face our stuff as the Lord brings it up. Amen? So here we are in Romans, I think. So we've read verse 18, how, you know, the wrath of God is revealed against those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And so there's a note in my Bible here that I just want to read quickly. Well, let me read verse 21 first. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So here's the note, clearly seen. In looking at the created world, every person should see abundant evidence of God's existence. Verse 21, they knew God. All people in their hearts know in their hearts that God exists, as well as something of his moral requirements. This statement does not say that people can come to saving faith by observing the created world, for saving faith comes only through hearing and believing the Bible's message about Christ. So God revealed himself even in his creation. And everybody in this world, although all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we all have some understanding that there is a God, right? There is a God. There is something bigger than me. There is someone who created this world that we live in. We all have that understanding, and we all have some understanding of his morality and of his standards, right? And it's whenever we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It's whenever we don't want to submit to this God. We don't want to place the king in the king's position. We want to occupy that position. It's whenever we're walking in that, whenever we're choosing to walk in that, we put ourselves in a bad place. We put ourselves in a dangerous place. Verse 22 says, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forevermore. Amen. Before, it was those who suppress the truth, who hold down the truth, who hold down Jesus, you might say. And when we stay in that place, eventually we get to the place where God turns us over to that way of thinking, and then we take the next step and we actually exchange the truth that we've been suppressing for a lie. And we eliminate ourselves from the possibility of walking in the freedom that Father God wants us to walk in. Because we've chosen to exchange the truth for a lie. And it's not available to us anymore, the freedom. Jesus said, they will know the truth and the truth will make them free. I wonder if the flip of that is true. They will know a lie, and the lie will keep them in bondage. Yeah. Yeah. And when I choose to suppress the truth and then eventually exchange the truth for a lie, I have literally put myself in bondage. Nobody else made that decision for me, right? That's what I did. Because I chose to walk in pride, because I chose to suppress the truth, hold the truth down, and then eventually I chose to exchange the truth for a lie, I can point the finger to nobody but myself. And that can be one of those unsightly places where we find ourselves. Because God in His grace will continue to come to us. Because He loves us lavishly, extravagantly, as Mike says. Because He cares for us. Because He has a hope and a future for us. He will come to us and show us those areas, which, like the alcoholic man, may seem very unsightly. But if we're willing to choose to deal with those things and ask God to help us, He's faithful and He will. Amen? Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. I just want to give us kind of an example of, you know, what this looks like. We're going to look at Cain for just a moment. In Genesis 4, we're going to start right there in verse 1. This is actually a passage that I've shared, I don't know, within the past year or two. You know, there's probably a lot that we're hearing today, and maybe even over the past several weeks, that we have heard time and time again. That's the grace of God who is leading, you know, the pastors to share this, even if it's over and over, to make sure that we get it. It's the grace of God. It's not that, you know, the pastoral staff doesn't know how to preach anything but this. It's not that, trust me. It's that we're pressing into Him and saying, Father, what is the word in due season that You have for this body? And we're hearing it over and over because it's the grace of God. So my prayer is that we would grab a hold of this and not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word as well. Amen? So here we are in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. I just want to point out real quick, there is a difference in the offerings that these two men made to the Lord. Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. He brought the best that he had, the firstborn. He brought the best. It was high quality worship. As the water boy would say, it was some high quality H2O. No, I'm sorry. It was high quality worship, right? But his brother, Cain, was a tiller of the ground. He brought an offering of the fruit of the ground of the Lord. How does that seem to you when you compare the two? Was it something out of the ordinary? Was it something exceptional? Is there any description of the quality of the offering that he brought? It's almost like, yeah, he gathered this stuff up and brought it. And so what I'm pointing out is the difference in the quality of worship that each man offered. Abel's was high quality. Cain's was not. So verse 5, it says, well, the end of verse 4, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but the Lord did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So again, Cain gives low quality worship to God, low sacrifice quality wise, and the Lord does not accept it. Cain gets ticked off about the whole situation. And I'm sure the whole sibling rivalry thing kicks in, you know. And the Lord, in his grace, actually comes to Cain and has a conversation with him and says, look, if you will choose to make a difference, make a change, and give high-quality worship, it'll be accepted. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for an afterthought. I'm looking for something that shows the value that I have, right? We sang it this morning, you're worthy of it all. Well, listen, the little bit of fruit that he gathered up didn't express you're worthy of it all, right? And so Father God is bringing a word of correction. And of course, we know where things go from here. Did Cain choose to heed the word that the Lord brought to him? No. No, he stayed ticked off. And I'm sure that anger just festered inside of him and eventually boiled over in the moment that he actually murdered his brother. Yeah. Whenever the Lord came and spoke to him and said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Can you see how Cain suppressed the truth? I don't want to hear that, Lord. I just want to hear how I was wrong. I want to hear how my offering should have been accepted just like my brother's offering. I want to hear something other than what you're telling me. And the words that the Lord spoke to him, you can see that Cain chose to suppress the truth. And that thing festered and it grew. And he went from bad to worse, to the point where he exchanged the truth for a lie. And he thought it was a good idea. If I murder my brother, then my problem goes away. No. No. And we can fall into the same thing. And that's why I'm saying it is so important for us to keep our hearts tuned to the love of God. It's so important for us to choose to consistently walk in humility that submits to God. It's so important for us to choose to not suppress the truth, not suppress Jesus, but to actually elevate the truth, to elevate Jesus in our lives, right? And in those times when the Lord highlights some things that are unsightly or even ugly, that we own it, and we ask him to help us to deal with it. Amen? This is what it can look like. Turning your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 14. Did I say Matthew 14? I'm sorry, I meant Matthew. Had a dyslexic moment there. Matthew 14, sorry about that. Matthew 14, we're going to start in 22. You know, I get around a little bit and I interact with, obviously, our folks here at CLCC, but with believers, you know, in the area at large and everything. And, you know, I've heard some fellow believers make comments like, boy, the enemy's really stirring up things in my life and I just really feel attacks from him, and which is true. That's across the board. You know, the scripture tells us that we have an enemy and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm not trying to minimize that. But what I also believe is true, especially in this season that we're in, is that the Lord himself is stirring some things up. is preparing us for this move of God. He's preparing us for this influx, as I was talking about earlier, of believers that are going to come in, that he wants us to steward well. And so, you know, sometimes we can look at the challenges that we face, and we are quick to think, oh, it's an attack of the enemy, or people are coming against me, which may be the case. But I wonder if sometimes we misinterpret what is happening. And the thing that we think is meant to destroy us, from God's perspective, it's actually meant to grow us. It's actually meant to promote us. It's actually meant to advance us. It's not meant to take us down. It's meant to take us up, if I can put it that way. Amen? And so as we carry his presence, like Pastor Steph was sharing with us, and as we walk in his promises and walk in his power and walk in his perspective, we will see things more clearly and what God is actually trying to accomplish in the midst of that. Case in point, here we are in Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he, Jesus, had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. So here they are. They're in the middle of this horrible storm. The boat's getting tossed all over the place. They seem to be going nowhere fast. And then, great, things get better. Now we see a ghost walking on the sea. What is the enemy doing to us? What is this situation? Somebody's out to get us. Somebody's out to destroy me. Somebody's out to cause us to go under. I don't know. Let's read on a little further. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Do those words bring peace to you when he speaks that to your heart? Even in the midst of a storm, when Jesus said, "Be of good cheer," when he speaks that to us, that makes a difference, doesn't it? Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And sometimes that's where we are. Jesus didn't intend for this storm and this fear that they were feeling to take them down. This was an opportunity for them to graduate to the next level, so to speak, for them to grow in their faith, for them to grow in their ability to trust Jesus. And sometimes we're in the same place. But if we can never get past the truth that we're trying to suppress, we'll never step out of the boat. I heard something interesting recently about this word come. Whenever Peter said, "If it's you, bid me to come," and Jesus says, "Come," the way that Jesus used that word in the original language actually meant kind of it was an open invitation. I guess the reality is everybody in the boat could have come if they chose to. Everybody could have stepped out and walked on water like Peter did if they chose to. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes when we elevate the truth, the Lord will lead us to do things that seem totally unreasonable. Does it seem logical for a half a second to step out of that boat onto the water in the midst of that raging storm. In our natural minds, that doesn't make sense, even for a second, right? Yet Jesus said, come. And Peter, instead of suppressing that truth, he got a hold of that truth. And if Jesus is telling me to come, if Jesus is saying it's okay to step out of the boat and come to him, by golly, that's what I'm doing. And he did it. And he walked on water. And what I'm saying is, the same thing applies to us. When we hear something, even that seems unusual, that the Lord speaks to us, and instead of suppressing it, we say, I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to choose to walk in that truth that sets me free. We will be able to do exploits that we never thought were possible. And he gets all the glory for it. When people get saved, God gets the glory. When people get healed, God gets the glory. When people get delivered from evil spirits that have plagued them 30 years or more, God gets the glory. Because we chose to step out in his truth, not suppress it, not exchange the truth for a lie, but to take him at face value and say, Jesus, if you're saying come, I'm coming. Amen? The same thing that was available to Peter is available to us as well. Pastor Steve, please do. Yes, please share.
So first of all, let me say that I am not hijacking Pastor Kurt's message. He talked to me beforehand and said, hey, if some point along here you get something, I think you're supposed to come up and share. So I want us to do an application, okay? So when we hear word, we want to apply it. Because I don't know if you're like me, but, you know, I hear it and I think it sounds good and I might write down two or three points and then I go through my week and I forget it unless I pull that paper back out. And that message with Pastor Steph is definitely one to go back to, because those four P's were powerful. But I want to talk to you a minute just a little bit about prayer, and then we're going to pray, okay? Do you understand that God is expecting prayer to be a two-way conversation? We often just talk, we're done, we go on with our day. We don't listen. Well, how do I know it's a two-way conversation? Because Jesus demonstrated that it was a two-way conversation. He said, I only say what I hear my Father saying, and I only do what I see my Father doing. So when we just heard that he went to the mountain to pray, he wasn't just talking, he was listening. And that's how he knew that he was to walk on the water and calm the storm. So we're going to ask God three questions. And the reason I reminded you that it's a two-way conversation is I expect you to hear an answer. Okay? You may see something. You may hear something. You may just feel something. But everybody in their bulletin has some blank paper, so I want you to get that out. Hopefully you have a pencil or a pen. If not, there's some in the jar back there, and maybe Pastor Steph or Pastor Kirk could help you grab a pen if you don't have one. I see that there is actually a whole pile right here in the pulpit, so if somebody near the front needs one, you can grab it. So we're just going to do three questions because we're talking about truth, not suppressing the truth, and getting rid of lies, right? Yes? You all with me here? Okay. All right. Pens and pencils here. There were some in the back. You have your bulletin to write on. All right. So we're going to pray, and prayer is a conversation. And we're going to ask questions, three questions, and we're going to expect to hear answers. You ready? Okay. Father God, am I believing any lies about myself or about you? And you're listening to hear a yes or a no. Go ahead. I believe any lies about you or any lies about myself. And if you're sensing that that's a yes, or hearing the yes, or seeing the word yes, then we're going to ask the next question. Father God, what is that lie? And you may see a situation, you may see a response you've been having, you may hear what the lie actually is, you may just have a sense that it has to do with a particular situation and how you're looking at that situation. Father God, I'm believing a lie about you or about myself. And what is that lie? You know, and sometimes I've asked that question and I've written it down and I'm like, really? Here's where we get to choose. Am I going to suppress the truth and say, no way, God, I'm not believing that lie? Or are we going to say, show me how and where I'm believing that lie? So let's put our humble hats on and say, okay, if that I'm believing that lie about that situation or about you or about myself, final question. So, Father God, what is the truth? Because the truth will set me free. The truth will allow me to take that step forward. The truth might encourage me to expand my faith and step out of that boat. So, Father God, what is the truth? He may show you the situation from his point of view. He may just bring a scripture to mind. He may state what the truth is. And then we each have a decision to make. Am I going to choose to believe that truth and reject the lie? So hopefully you can pray with me, Father God, I choose to believe the truth that you've spoken. I choose to believe the word of God that you brought to my mind. I choose to believe that that's how you see me, or that's how you see the situation. Even though that wasn't how I was seeing myself or how I was seeing the situation. I am choosing, not suppressing, the truth. I want to walk forward to your victory, and I can't do that believing a lie. So thank you for the truth, and I accept that truth.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. Yeah, I just had a sense in early morning prayer that we were going to just kind of tag team a little bit this morning. And so thank you for being obedient and stepping out to do that. That was excellent. I actually had that in my notes, but you did it for me, so all good. Okay, well, as we get ready to wrap up here, I just want to close with a quick parable that Jesus shares out of Matthew 21. Because again, we want to be doers of his word. And what the Lord is speaking to our hearts this morning, we can say, yes, I agree with that. And then he perhaps will ask us to actually step out and do something, like step out of the boat. Like, don't just tell me you believe that you can walk on water. Show me that you believe you can walk on water. Amen? And that's what this parable talks about here. Just real quick in closing, Matthew 21, 28, Jesus says, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Verse 30, then he came to the second and said, likewise, And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? Of course, the answer is the first one. Although he said no at first, he then had a change of heart. He repented and he went and did what his father asked him to. He's the one that did the will of his father. Not the one who right off the bat said, oh, I'll do it. I'm there. Dude, you got me. You can count on me. And then didn't follow through with it. And so let's be those who not only say yes to God, but then do what he's asking us to do. Amen? Awesome. Well, listen, I'm so glad that we spent this time together. I'm so glad that we were able to tune our hearts to his love. And I'm excited about what he spoke to each one of us and where he is taking us corporately. Amen? And so will you just stand with me as we close in prayer? I just appreciate each one of you. And I'm excited. I'm excited, saints, where God's taking us. Amen. Amen. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing love. We thank you for the truths that you're revealing to us today. And Father, that we would be sons and daughters that would not choose to suppress the truth, not exchange the truth for a lie, but God, that we would champion your truth and elevate your truth and not only agree with your truth, but that we would be those that walk in your truth on a consistent basis, Lord. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you come and fill us afresh and anew, that your grace that empowers us to walk out what you're asking us to do would just be abundant in our lives, Lord, that we would just be overflowing with the grace of God. We would be overflowing with the presence of God, overflowing with the love of God in our lives, and that we would just spill out all over on those that we're around, Lord. And so seal in our hearts what you've spoken to us and help us to walk it out on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 You are dismissed. Great to see you this morning.